All lines are now bridged.
Good afternoon, everyone. Happy Tuesday. We are down to the wire here with our ICAD task force meetings. Quick roll call, and we'll jump right into it. We have our two co-chairs, Cheryl Turney and Alex Goss, Alexis Snyder, Andy Trescott, Anil Jain, Jess Jaworski, Jackie Munson, Alex Muggy, Ram Shiram, Rich Landon, and Sasha Termont. Are there any other members that I have not announced? Okay, hearing none, I will turn it over to our co-chairs to get us started for today.
Thank you. Yeah, I wasn't sure. I think you were going to kick us off today and then run us into the report review, or would you like me to go ahead and do the setup slides?
No, I'll go ahead. No worries. So welcome today. The agenda is we are going to go over the final revisions of the report. We'll do a little summary of what we've been working on over the past week and what we did last week. Then we will have a public comment, and then we'll go over next steps. And we're really winding down, getting ready to submit that report to HITECH for approval. We can go to the next slide. So in the last meeting, we reviewed the feedback that had come from HITECH, as well as feedback that we had gotten from the task force. We also discussed some additional areas that we felt needed to be changed in the report. We walked through the report, and then we spent much of last week offline updating the report with the comments that we received. We have also received a significant number of comments from external stakeholders as a result of the publishing the final report. And so we've reviewed all of those comments as well. I don't know, Alex, if you want me to list them, I just need a moment and I can do that because I did make a list of them all.
So while you pull up that list, let's go ahead and just acknowledge that also, in addition to the feedback we discussed on last week's call that we worked on incorporating last week, we did receive comments throughout last week, even till the end of day Friday night. I want to really do a shout out to our task force members who took their time to review all of that feedback. We got well over 50 pages worth of comments, and we distributed those to our task force members, had them do an offline review and send their feedback so that Cheryl and I could work with the core team in reviewing all the feedback from offline and then figure out next steps. And so we've been able to review all of the thoughtful commentary that we've received in verbal and written remarks. Cheryl?
Thank you. So to that end, we received comments from the American Medical Association, AHA, the Hospital Association, also MAGMA, which is the Medical Group Management Association. We received comments from AHIMA, as well as CalPERS, which is an HIE type organization in California, NCPVP, CoverMyMeds, also the Health Innovation Alliance. And then, let's see, who am I missing?
CAQH Core.
Oh, I mentioned them. CAQH Core. And I think, that's it. That's the list. And we really appreciate everyone's thoughtful review and input into our work. We have carefully considered all of the comments we got, in addition to the work that was done by the task force, as Alex mentioned, reviewing those comments and providing their input. So now can we go to the next slide? Okay, we can go to the next slide. I think this is the draft, right. So which we've already talked about. So let's go ahead and we can share my screen. We're going to go into updating the report. And what we're going to do is we're going to review a couple things. The first thing is just I'm going to display a Word document that actually will have the list of summary changes. Let me know if you can see that.
It is. I can see it now.
Okay. So we had a lot of updates that were made by our editor and also others that were made to the document. So we've actually put a list together of all of these changes because we will be providing this list to HITECH with our updated document. So what we normally present to them is a final document and then a redlined, if you will, of all the things that have changed since they saw it last, to ease in their, you know, allow them a little bit of help as they're reviewing the document to pay attention to it. So we're not going to go through this list today, but we're actually going to look at the document itself. And what I'm going to step you through is basically all the areas where we made any material changes. So a material change would be something like this sentence that we added here, which was a notation that we all agreed upon in our meeting last week. But this is the wording that we worked on for this version, which is digital prior authorization is also sometimes called electric prior authorization. And that more historical terminology appears in some places in this report when appropriate in to the context. So that would be an example of a material change. And we'll go over all those today. A non-material change would be if you look down here and see my cursor, there's a registered trademarks. Those would be non-material. We're not going to go over those. Does that meet with everybody's understanding? So can I go forward? Any questions?
There are no questions.
No questions.
Okay. All right. So it may take me a little bit of time as we go through this, but wherever, because of the way that we edited it also, the red lines to the right are not coming out for all of the narrative changes. So I am going to go over everything that shows up in red. So here, in terms of recommendations, there was a little bit of rewording. And basically what it now said is that the task force developed the following recommendations for achieving data integration, each of which is discussed in the full report. These recommendations, which are not listed in priority order, identify the specific areas in which resources and energies must be focused to bring about the desired ideal state. Federal leadership and broad coordination will be needed to clarify and carry out the details needed to accomplish each one. This was really responding to a number of comments we had where they wanted us to prioritize the recommendations in priority order. And of course, different input had different priorities that should come first. So we decided that rather than try to apply that at this late hour of the process, we would speak to the fact that there was no priority in the order and that a considerable more amount of work will need to be done once ONC accepts these recommendations and then works towards whatever the next steps in the process are. Any questions or comments or conversation?
You got a that's great in the chat box, and Anil has just raised his hand.
Great.
Yeah, hey, I think this is written pretty well, except one of the things that we've sort of heard as a theme that have been magnified by several of us is that our focus was on the what and not the how. So how do we incorporate that into this sentence where it's clear to folks that we're not going to get at the details in this. That's going to be up to the collaborative work that follows. And that our focus was really on the what and not the how. I'm not going to wordsmith it right now, but you know, that's sort of
right.
Our editor can help
I
us
thought we did. Anil, I'm going to take that note here, but I do think we said something about that in another area, right in the preamble to the recommendations. I think we did actually add that. So,
right,
if not,
right.
We can get to it. But to your
yeah.
point, Cheryl, you are in the executive summary section, so things are a little bit
yeah.
streamlined here in comparison
yeah.
that, you know, we kind of try to in some ways not to come out and say it so forthrightly in the narrative, but maybe that's what I'm hearing, is it might be better to just be that clear, and so we'll take that feedback.
Yeah. Okay, I think that's perfect. Anybody else before we move on?
Nope.
Okay, so here we go. All right, so here, again, this is in the introductory area. This is part of the foreword. We talked about adding a statement here, and we added the realization of recommendations in this report would provide the basis on which policies, standards, and enabling technologies of the U.S. healthcare system can converge to truly put the patient at the center of our modern era of information exchange. The time is right for data to move bidirectionally across the healthcare ecosystem in appropriate ways that reduce burden and improve care and health. HHS and industry stakeholders should take this opportunity to act on the recommendations in this report and bring the ideal state to life. Any questions or comments on that addition?
I'm seeing nothing in the chat box, nor hands raised.
Okay, so let's move on. Okay, I think the next takes a few pages. Here was a reference to the 21st Century Cures Act, not material. We did add a footnote about digital prior authorization, is sometimes called the electronic prior auth, which we spoke to in the foreword. That's also not material. Okay, here's where we added the footnote for CAQH Core. This speaks to some of their comments, which includes operating rules authored by CAQH Core Committee on Operating Rules for Information Exchange, and this was added as a footnote with the X12 reference. Keep going. Okay, so this is part of the current landscape we're still talking about, and here this needed to be reworded, which we discussed last time. And we added a correction based on input from NCPVP. The real-time prescription benefits standard version 11 was approved for ballot at the August meeting, a work group meeting. The standard supports XML and EDI syntaxes. They had just asked us to create or to rectify the reference to the work group meeting, which we did. Then further down in the report, okay, this is when we start talking about the ideal state. And here we added the overarching goal is to enhance patient health experiences and outcomes by reducing burden across the ecosystem and enabling innovation and continuous improvement without necessitating special effort on the part of the ecosystem participant. This was to just clarify what we're focusing on with the patient experience. Questions?
Alexis has just raised her hand.
Hi, I think that the saying enhanced patient health experiences rather than just patient experiences, maybe move the health before outcomes. So we're enhancing the experience, which is the process of intersecting the data and the prior authorization process, which then affects your health outcomes.
Health outcome. Is everybody in agreement with that if we were to make that change?
Anil's hand is raised.
I was just going to say, I think it sounds great.
Thank you.
I think you can probably just take the S off of experiences to enhance patient experience and health outcomes.
Okay, so enhance patient experience and health outcomes by reducing burden. I like that better. Recommended in the TF meeting. Okay. Any other comments before I move on? I'm just trying to highlight these for Susan, our editor. Okay, so, all right, then here again, this is part of the patient at the center. And there was some, I think, confusion by some of the, that came forward from some of the commenters. So we did attempt to reword a few things. And the first one is we split up number one to one and two. And because they do seem to be a little bit different, they're not just all supporting the same idea. So the first one was about the reduction of burden on the patient and caregiver, and that we modified it so it says patients are not the go-between for providers and payers. Before, it had patients become the go-between, and I think that was an incorrect statement because we've been trying to avoid that. We're trying to get them out of the go-between business. So I think there was some words added in an edit or something that changed the meaning. And so I wanted to clarify with all of you that what we're focusing on here is that patients are not the go-between for providers and payers.
And this is because, right, I think what's really important to understand is that these bullets are about the ideal state, where we should be. And even though we want to have transparency so the patient can resolve things when needed, the ideal state is they never have to be sucked into the vortex of being the go-between. And so I think Cheryl's giving us a set of edits for review that will hopefully bring a little bit more clarity. This is not the last place we may be making changes at Patient at the Center, but this was a theme of our feedback. And so I think it's really important for people to take a moment, read the edits that are there, and make sure you're okay with them. And you think that we've gone far enough in addressing the feedback and potential confusion that might exist.
Right.
And Neil's hand is up. And Neil, you may be on mute.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I've got this double mute thing going on. Okay, so I'm not entirely in love with the language because I think we do want patients involved at whatever level they need to be involved. And I think what we're trying to say is that the patients are not the default communication channel between the providers and payers. But by all means, they should be engaged when and if they need to be. It's ultimately for the patient that the payer and provider are doing this, right? So I don't know how to say that, but the go-between is kind of a strange way of making that point.
Right. I think we made that point because currently today, they, in many cases, are the go-between, but the statement we added was number 9, which was the patient and caregiver involvement in clinical processes is voluntary and not required.
But it's not the clinical process. What I'm saying is that the patients should not be involved in the administrative overhead or the administrative communication that needs to happen. They should be involved in the clinical process. I mean, ultimately, they're going to make sure that the right thing is being done in conjunction with their provider and their plan. But I think it's the administrative side, the burden that patients feel, where they're becoming sort of the communication channel for dysfunctional system is what we're trying to get at, I think.
Yeah, so I'm going to suggest that Alexis also has her hand up, so maybe what we should do is hear from people and their reactions and then before we sort of figure out where we're going to go. Alexis? Anil, I think you were done. I hope that was a natural segue.
Yeah, Alexis. That's fine. Yep, I think it's good to hear from others. Yep.
Alexis?
Yeah. I think I have something to say about 9 now also, but if you could go back up to the first two areas of red. I think the very first one, I think I mentioned this a while back on one of the edits. I think the confusion with number 1 was because the sentence at some point got changed. It was reduction of burden. It wasn't reducing the burden is our driving force. It was we were reducing the burden of patient and caregivers to be the driving force. Like we were, right now you need the patient and the caregivers, you know, a good percentage of the time need to be the driving force to push it forward or it doesn't get completed. So it was the reducing the burden of the patient and caregivers need to be the driver. Not that that was our driving force. Does that make sense? And so then I think that's why the second piece gets confusing now. And so patients should not be, or patients will not be, or will not need to be the go-between to drive the PA forward.
So instead of is, it should be reduction of burden on the patient and caregiver to be the driving force for moving prior authorizations. But then that ends up being an incomplete sentence. Reduction of burden on the patient and caregiver to be the driving force for moving prior authorization forward.
To move the prior authorization forward.
Right.
Then it doesn't sound like an incomplete sentence.
Yeah.
And then I don't want to get too ahead of you while you're typing that one, but I know you hadn't gone to the second one before you scroll down to 9 and when Anil was commenting.
Yeah.
So I'll let you read this one first, but then I have a comment about this one.
Okay, so now let's go back and just reread it. Reduction of burden on the patient caregiver to be the driving force to move the prior authorization forward. Patients are not the go-between for providers and payers.
But the patients do not need to be or should not be.
Patients are not the default go-between, maybe?
Are not required to be.
No. Don't use the word required. That was when the next thing I was going to say about 9, because that makes it sound like you should, but it's not mandatory. And we want to say that this shouldn't have to happen this way.
Why not? Patients are not the go-between.
Right. If that's our idea.
Yeah, we don't want to say that either, because we want the patients to be able to be involved in the process. I drafted some stuff in the chat.
Be involved in the process without being the go-between. You shouldn't have to get caught up between the provider and the insurance.
So how about this? Patients are not the default go-between for providers and payers in the administrative approval process? Is that what we're saying?
And there's another suggestion that came in the chat box that says are not expected to be the go-between. Rich
yeah,
was suggesting
good.
That patients are okay. not expected to be the go-between.
Yeah.
And like then, that. So Alexis, okay, so Arian is cranking out a bunch of comments, so I'm not sure where to put you in the queue here. Are you good now? Because I know Alexis still has something on number 9, but I don't want to go down
yeah,
there
well,
until...
I'm good.
Okay, thank you, Arian.
I'll raise my hand when you get to it again.
Okay.
Well, number 2 is going to be like number 1, so we'll stand this topic for a minute. So, all right, so now just let's go. Reduction of burden on the patient and caregiver to be the driving force of to move the prioritization forward. Patients are not expected to be the go-between for providers and payers. That's what we ended up with. So that makes sense.
Yep.
The next one was prior authorization processes do not necessitate a point person at each site of care to ensure that prior authorization is fully resolved and related coordination/follow-through is performed. Instead, the workflow is designed to address prior authorizations within the workflow based on value-based or other clinical rules.
Alexis?
So I'm confused. Like, if I hadn't been a part of this task force for all these weeks and I just read this, I wouldn't be able to figure out what you were trying to say. Because we started out with this piece of the ideal state and saying that we needed to necessitate a person so that exactly for what we said in number 1, so that it doesn't fall on the patient or caregiver to have to be checking up. So I don't know if it sits right to say that the process shouldn't necessitate a point person. There should be one person championing it through from the beginning to the end. And I don't know how that second new sentence takes care of that.
I think, though, that the idea that is that, because that just transfers the burden from the patient and caregiver to the provider. So the idea was, in the ideal state, hopefully no one will have to be the gatekeeper, because the process that's built in itself based on rules and alerts will manifest that. If it doesn't, obviously there still needs to be a person who's going to be monitoring this and managing it. But at the end of the day, that's what we're trying to say here, is that the overall digital process should support more of an automated approach to this and not require a person.
I see Andy also has his hand up.
When you put it like that, it makes sense if current state pointed out a point person, but they don't. So it sounds funny to say you don't need to necessitate someone. This is what should happen. No one's necessitating a point person. No one's making anybody responsible for that right now. So maybe you need to reword what you were just saying, include, starting off with workflows are designed, with that new sentence, with that sentence, and add what you just said about somebody managing that if need be.
Yes, Alexis, do me a favor and look at what Andy Truscott just typed in the chat box. I'm not sure if that's...
Yes.
You still have your hand raised, Andy, so I'm...
I was kind of suggesting that, although I did notice that we're in the section called patient at the center, and I'm not sure how this entire sentence matches to that. Sorry.
Okay, so let's first take the first thing, which is you are able to capture it. So Andy's suggesting workflow is designed to automatically address prior authorization within workflow based on value-based or other clinical rules without human intervention unless by exception.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, to me, that's what we're saying. But again, that's just to explain why there doesn't need to be a person who's at the center. And at the end, it would still need to be covered in another area, which I think we do, because when we talk about the recommendation on workflows, we don't say it exactly that way, but that's exactly what we're trying to say.
Mm.
And I think the way this was originally set up, there was some feedback that where some of the feedback providers who reviewed it thought we were just transferring the burden from one person to another rather than fixing the burden in the workflow.
So you have Andy's hand up again.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. That was a finger slip.
That was a hanging chat. Okay, no worries. Okay, so what I'm Alexis, you're next.
Yeah, so maybe if we're wording it this way, maybe this comes out and moves to the ideal state for workflow automation. But if we really want to push the point of number one, then maybe bind into one piece. So we're saying that patients aren't expected to be this person, and therefore we're not going to necessitate, nobody should have to be this person, and workflows are designed to blah, blah, blah. That would be my suggestion, either combining them or moving it to workflow.
Move to workflow. Yeah, I think that's the appropriate place to move it to workflow. What does other people think? Alex, what do you think?
I'm going to defer the team because I'm trying to watch everybody who's rapidly chatting in the chat box.
Okay.
And so I'm going to defer because I think you've got folks, Andy and Alexis, agreeing with it, but no other comments at this time.
Okay. All right. So, we can come back to it if we need to, but that's what we'll look at here is moving this whole thing to workflow. I'm going to highlight it just so we don't lose it. Okay. Then number 9 becomes patient caregiver involvement in And again, I may have not worded this properly because I worded it clinical processes, but I wanted to say more than just prior authorization. The degree to which they're involved is voluntary and not required. And of course they're involved because, you know, the process is about them, but I meant in order to move the process forward. So it's awkwardly worded and that's my fault.
So Alexis may have a suggestion. Your hand is up.
Well, I have to think about the wordsmithing, but my first suggestion is that we need to be consistent and not use involvement and say engagement. And my second piece is that I agree with what Anil said before about it. We shouldn't be saying that they're not shouldn't be engaged in the clinical process. Out the word clinical and reword it.
Yeah.
And I get what Cheryl's trying to get out. I'm trying to think of how to clearly say it instead of just. We don't want to say that it's voluntary and not required. We want to something along the lines of patients should be able to be engaged to the extent that they wish to be, something along those lines.
Oh,
it's about choice.
But it shouldn't be a requirement to push this process forward. Something like that.
Should be able to be engaged to.
To the degree that they elect.
In the, how about, okay, to the degree.
Well, it should be patient is, right? If we're talking about ideal state, patient is engaged. Take out the engagement in the first, yeah.
Is engaged to the degree. Desired.
But engagement is not a requirement to move the process forward or the authorization forward or however you want to put it.
The workflow forward. How about that?
Yeah.
We also have a suggestion that says something from Anil that says along the lines of patient/caregiver engagement in the administrative process should be transparent and empowering, but not required.
I like that too.
Okay, so maybe I can reach. Andy has a friendly amendment, so maybe I should reread it with the friendly amendment so that it's
okay.
Patient/caregiver engagement in the administrative process should be transparent and empowering.
Yep.
And not required.
How do we like that? I think that's really clear.
What do you mean should the is? Not should. We need to say is.
Is. Thank you, Denise.
Yeah. Sorry I didn't raise my hand.
No, it's all right. No, it was a good catch. Is transparent and empowering and not required.
Okay. I like that. Does everyone like that?
Just the first and is a comma.
I'll say we'll leave that up to our editor to make it consistent with our comma, whether we're using Oxford commas or whatever version we like to use.
That's not an Oxford comma. Oh.
I'm just teasing. You have to understand. Anyway, so Anil Jain has his hand up. Anil?
Yeah, I don't remember when I pressed the button, to be honest, but I was going to say including transparent in there. It's probably a good thing as a transition to the next section anyway. But, yeah, I'm good with the edits and revisions.
That's how I thought it was a nice transitional because the next one goes into making it number. We'll fix the number 9, no worries.
Okay. I don't know how to delete all that, so I messed it up. So I just rewrote it. Patient caregiver is transparent and empowering but not required.
So I have my hand up. I don't know if Alex.
Yeah, no, I was. I do. I was pausing to let Cheryl kind of get control of the
okay. There we
word
go.
Help. Okay. Alexis?
All right, so I was about to say it didn't make sense, but so now I see her changing it. But I see it talking about the administrative process again and that being transparent and empowering. We're going to confuse folks again about patients and caregivers being a part of the administrative process.
How about if we just say patient and caregiver in the workflow is transparent and empowering but not required?
Well, it's the workflow is transparent to the patient.
Patient engagement in the process, or patient caregiver is empowered and engaged to be a part of the process, but not a requirement to move the workflow forward. That's a tongue twister.
Is this point trying to talk about transparency in that the patient doesn't have visibility of the workflow, whereas the next section is trying to say, and the decisions that are being made are transparent to the patient so they understand? Is that what we're trying to distinguish between, or am I off kilter here?
I think what you just said is what we're trying to do, and I just reworded it based on Alexis's comments. I changed it a little bit. Is this better? Patient caregiver engagement in the workflow process is transparent and empowering, but not required.
No, it doesn't make sense because it sounds like the patient, like that has to be transparent to someone else. It's just backwards. You need to be empowered and engaged in the process. The process itself has to be transparent, which is what we get into in the next section. I think you just had it. You had it good before.
So the patient is empowered and engaged in the workflow process. Yeah, I messed it up. So
to the extent that they want to be is the piece that's missing again, because the folks that sent over comments about that, they've said our report was making it sound like it was a requirement.
Okay. I need some help to reword this then. I think...
I think we've gotten to the point where we've wordsmithed it so many times that it's completely mangled at this point. I just want to do a time check. It is 3:40.
Okay, so we have the notes to the side. We have something here. I'm going to leave this in yellow for right now. Maybe we'll come back to it, but this needs to be reworded for clarity.
And I think we've got the transcripts, we've got the notes from today. I think we can take a stab at it at a separate time. And we've also got a friendly offer to help reword that. So Alexis, tomorrow we may be in touch. We have a several hour working session. I think you might be a good litmus test to make sure that we're hitting the mark. We will be in touch.
Perfect. Thank you. All right, let's go to the next one, and I don't want to lose this, so I'll save it now before I go, just in case I get a freeze. Uh-oh.
You have...
Maybe I shouldn't have... No, I'm okay.
Okay.
I was like, oh, my God, I'm saving it, and now it's frozen. But no, I can go.
No further questions in the queue, so I would say you're good to go to the next one. I just do have a question for Gus Gerasi. You have a green check mark up. I'm hoping that means you've been supportive, but I'm not sure exactly on what. So if there's something we need to capture, please let us know.
No, nothing to capture. It was a check mark on something that happened a while ago.
Okay, thanks, Gus.
So here is the rewording of the intro paragraph to the recommendations. We added these recommendations, which are not listed in priority order, outline necessary steps on the path toward clinical administrative data integration. They clarify the areas in which resources and energy should be focused to solidify the details needed to fulfill them. Federal leadership is essential to ensure that the process of moving forward on this path includes robust interagency coordination, industry and federal advisory committee engagement, and alignment with other relevant initiatives. I think this is where I thought we added that other comment from before, Alex, but I don't think that we did now that I'm rereading it.
Are you referring to the executive summary edition around page 9?
Yes.
In contrast to page 38? So do you feel the need you need to look at page 9 real quick just to keep us in sync?
Yeah.
Or is it okay?
Yeah. I just want to go back and see the note we had on 9.
Don't get dizzy, everybody.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. Right there, you just passed it. I was my page number was off.
Here it is. The how. Okay, so the how. We need to add the comment about the how. Because I thought we had something on it, but it looks like we didn't have anything on it.
So back to page 38, the idea that we got from Anil earlier is that we want to be very clear about the how versus the what,
yes.
And that means that we'll make a change to page 9 and page 38.
Yeah.
And there are no...
38. I thought I added this word, so that's why I'm confused.
Wordsmithed our wordsmithing upon occasion in the last couple of days, so maybe it...
Yeah.
I don't think we've been as clear as saying this document focuses on the what, not the how. This is, we tried to explain that in these other words, but maybe we should just really call it out. I think for me, I would hope that everybody understands that these recommendations help us turn a corner in that we can now be more focused on the areas we want to advance in specific details for really achieving the ideal state, but that would really take a lot of other processes after approval of the report.
Yeah, and a lot of the groups that are particularly focused on the how are interested in seeing more of that now, but we really are not in, we weren't charged with that, and we've been specifically asked to stay out of it. So, okay. I will take that note for the follow-on and go to the next one if no one has any questions or comments. The next one was recommendation 2. This is just the confirmation that we eliminated that reference, which we talked about last meeting. This is just the manifestation of that, and it was just a deletion. So that's a material change. Okay to move on?
Yep.
Okay, and then the next one.
Pause, please. Here. Anil has raised his hand. Anil?
Okay.
Yeah, just a real quick comment, and experts on the call that know more about this than I can defer, I'll defer to them, but is it government-wide or do we mean cross-agency? Because government-wide is pretty...
Are you referring to the opening section that you're referring, the opening text?
The prior one that you were just on. I just had a...
Number 2, recommendation 2.
We have interagency coordination.
Wait, I just saw it's government-wide somewhere.
He wants you to go down recommendation 2.
Here we talk
about
recommendation. The work of other agencies.
Yeah. I mean, if you guys are all okay with the word government, establish a government-wide common standards advancement process as opposed to, you know, cross-agency one. I mean, I just think the word government is kind of throwing me off a little bit. It's being somewhat generic and expansive. I don't know. I'll defer to you guys.
Arian, you raised your hand.
Yeah, it's hard because it's healthcare limited, so it's not government-wide from the standpoint of literally every arm of federal government, but it's hard to draw a circle around it because we talk about FEP, we talk about DOD, we talk about VHA, so we're already across GSA, which is part of the Office of the White House. We're across 3 different departments of the U.S. federal government, at least. I think IHS may well be in Department of the Interior, so that maybe that's four. So it gets big
IHS
pretty quickly.
IHS is within HHS. But
okay, thank you.
Prisons and
prisons. That's right, and as part of DOJ,
and Homeland
right?
Security and NASA,
yeah.
Et cetera. But
it gets big really quickly. Is the basic point is it's hard to cast a line around it that is otherwise other than cross federal, you know, U.S. federal government healthcare specific.
So thank you for that feedback. We also had Rich's hand raised on, I think, on the same topic.
Yes, I'd like to stick with government-wide because there are instances, some of which we've mentioned already, but regulations in education, in homeland security, in banking and finance. Talk about identifiers. They talk about rules for privacy disclosure information, the issue with the security standards. That's well beyond healthcare. And just saying cross-agency coordination, I don't think is sufficient.
Okay. So can we get a consensus from the group? Can we leave it at government-wide?
I think the motion on the table is to leave it at government-wide, unless there's a compelling alternative.
There are no hands up or comments at this point.
Okay, then I vote that we leave it the way it is. Can I move on to the next point?
I think so.
Okay. Let's see, and recommendation number six. So there was a recommendation from a couple different sources which Rich synthesized into wanting to know if we could clarify that we don't mean to deprive developing organizations of their revenue. We're just looking to find a simpler to administer public good alternative funding mechanism to replace the individual end user licensing mechanisms that are our current model. Again, that's more of a how, but it was, I think it does merit discussing because all of the groups that are impacted did comment about this, fact. So awareness, be aware. And then number two, does that mean we need to reread this and, determine if our wording is exactly the way we meant it? Because what we said was make standards open to implement without licensing costs and user licensing of adopted standards, code sets, and vocabularies is burdensome in order to drive innovation and make standard-based capabilities available to the widest set of actors. The task force recommends that converge standards and their included component code sets named in certification programs be available to implementers without licensing costs for developers implementing the named standards. And then it goes on. So,
I think it's important to, even though we had alternatively fair, reasonable, and non-discriminatory licensing may be imposed, it's still of concern that we can't support curation, ongoing curation. You have Arian's hand is up.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's important on this one not to backtrack from the goal, which is to make converged standards available to implementers without licensing costs for developers. So again, I think we narrowly targeted here that we want to make it easy to use for developers, that we want to make it available for license in fair, reasonable, and non-discriminatory ways, that we acknowledge that there is a need to fund the business model we need to fund business models that support standards development. We're providing flexibility. So I don't think anybody should read this statement as saying that, name your organization should suddenly give everything away for free with no compensating
right.
business model and no ability to maintain the code sets. If we want to be explicit about, you know, there is a cost to develop and maintain code sets, and nothing in this recommendation should be interpreted as undermining the business model associated with that. I think that's a fair thing to say.
You're supporting Rich's addition, you do have one more in the queue. It's Anil.
Yeah, I'm just going to say that in the information blocking rule, there is specific language. And in our recommendation, we can just refer back to that because a lot of people spent a lot of time, Erin, you remember.
I just manipulated me quite a bit, and now I'm hurting.
I'm sorry?
I don't know. Somebody's talking in the background.
Okay. So I was saying that we basically should, in this recommendation, try to harmonize what already exists in the information blocking rule around code sets and standards and terminologies, and just say that it should be aligned. There's a chance, of course, to have reasonable profit. There's language about being non-discriminatory. I don't think we need to come up with our own mechanism here, but just to align
right.
it with what has already been out there.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that because we spent a lot of time with that on the interoperability rule itself, as did the ONC. So do we think we need to add one additional statement to this that speaks to what Arian just mentioned, and what Rich is getting to is that there is a cost to create, maintain code sets, and nothing in this recommendation, you know, disputes that. Because that's, you know, we're not saying that they wouldn't get, you know, funded anyway. It's just that it needs to be fair and equitable.
Rich Landed has commented that he likes Arian's disclaimer language approach, could even be a footnote. I think that what I'm hearing from the discussion Cheryl, is I think maybe the way we can say this so we can move on is anyone in disagreement on our ability to enhance this section with a related note or sentence to if there's any objections to what we've discussed, please speak up.
Yeah, this is Anil. I just think that putting anything in here wouldn't be enough, right? I mean, I just think we've already got a model that we're pro competition, we're pro business, we're not trying to deprive anyone of a profit, and we've already got a model. Just refer back to that model. Why come up with our own here?
Right. So can we just add the footnote to reference the interoperability rule and their correlation to that?
Well, I would be specific about the information blocking aspect of it, that where the language is in there, if I remember correctly. But it makes it a little bit easier for us, and that language has already been vetted. That's all I'm getting at.
I think we can take a look at the content and see what we want to address there. I'm not sure how many more items you have to go over, Cheryl.
There's not a lot.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
There's a couple more. All right, let's take this and then we'll move to the next item. And then if we have time, we'll come back to those that we felt we needed to discuss more. Any final comments before we move on?
Not seeing any.
Okay. There was a statement added for recommendation number 7, which was patient-centered workflows and standards. And here it was added, patient engagement should be at the patient's discretion and not a requirement of the process. This, again, speaks to what we put in the ideal state. Are we okay with this? And we did make an addition of bidirectional digital exchange of data, which we had discussed in our meeting last week.
No hands, no comments.
All right, I'm going to take that and move on then. Here, as a result of also one of the industry groups, we are recommending we add the word standard ID cards because it did seemed to be some confusion because of the title, whether we were talking about like a national payer identifier, and we're not. We're talking about a standard for an ID card. And so we thought by adding this, it would just clarify it. Again, maybe this gets to some people read the headlines and don't read the detail. I don't know, but let's add it. And we added it here.
We need to then, to that point, possibly change the title to create standardized member ID card to make it, if it struck me when you were speaking that maybe that would further alleviate some concerns.
Yeah, I mean, I hate the word card because now they're all digital. So it's not really a card, which is why I didn't put it in there in the first place. But maybe it's create a standardized member ID. You know, we can add card and then it could be digital.
Our friendly suggestion from the community that says create member ID standard.
There you go. That works.
It would take out standardized. It would just be so you could take, if we did that, and Anil has his hand up.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think what I'm seeing these days is more about identity rather than ID. It goes back to the comment about digital versus, you know, a physical ID and the idea that your identity is what we're really trying to get at. So if we could somehow convert some of the language to standard identity, you know, whether it's physical or digital, is what we're trying to get at here, I think.
And we wouldn't be creating the standard. We would actually be adopting a standard because one has existed as we were,
right.
As was shared.
Right. So, and we already referenced that standard. And all of the people that commented on this endorsed and agreed with adopting that standard. So should we change this to adopt member ID standard? And we could say virtual, you know, or not. We talk about that in the detail because we say alternatively a virtual ID card could be permissible.
Alexis has her hand up.
Yeah, Cheryl just hit. I was going to say that create doesn't make sense now if we're talking about adopting something that's already out there. But yeah, I would say adoption of standardized.
Adopt member ID. I think adopt member ID standard. ID.
Yeah.
You don't want to say card, but.
Well, let's just
maybe standardization instead of just standard.
Yeah, this is Anil. I think we're talking about two different things, guys. If I understand this, what I thought we were talking about in our task force meetings was about identity. It's to know that a Mr. John Smith is the same person as a Mr. John Smith in another transaction, that they're the exact same individual. I think having a ID construct and the aspects around it is what I think this is getting at, and that's not what we're referring to, right? We're talking about...
So there's two recommendations. This one talks about the standard ID card. We have 14 that talks about the identity. And so it's two separate ones.
I apologize. It's been a while.
That's
okay. Sorry about that.
Yeah. And this one, with all the feedback we got, was speaking to the ID card standard. So I think it's okay to put the card in the title because we talk about right here a virtual ID card could be permissible provided it complies. So I think it's fine if you guys are okay with it. Adopt member ID card standard.
And to your point, I think that it will be clearer if somebody just reads the title by having that word there, because I think they'll go naturally to, we're talking about identity. So.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're getting support in the comment boxes or the chat box.
Okay, I'm just going to add a note here. So,
and there's a suggestion that we need. Okay,
yep.
We also want to make sure that we clean up the change to create, to adopt in the body of the recommendation. So we say, thank you, Denise, for catching that. It would be in the second line right behind DOD TRICARE to create.
To adopt.
Yes, please. And it wouldn't be standards. It would just be standard, I think. Maybe I'm wrong.
I'm just rereading it to make sure the rest of it then makes sense. Okay, I think the rest of it's good. I do think it should be standard.
Okay.
Perfect, thanks. All right, okay to move on?
Yes.
Okay, we had some changes here. Again, to align to what we had in the ideal state, I think. This was just the rewording from should to recommend. And so it was the task force recommends the creation of standards that will enable patient caregivers to authorize sharing of their data with the tool of their choice to interface with their corresponding provider and payer systems. HHS should establish a standard that supports efficient third-party patient authentication, and now this is the ID that allows patients to access and bidirectionally share their data across the landscape from all of their providers, payers, and actors, such as clearinghouses, HIEs, and public health, using a consistent authentication and authorization token, allowing them easier integration with their health data application. That makes sense?
Anil's hand is raised.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not sure I fully understand how identity is being encompassed in this one. I see authentication and authorization, but what I was referring to earlier was, is there a minimum set of fields that are going to be required to be harmonized in order to show that two people are identical when we have this cross communication with exchange, with information exchange? That's what I was getting at. I'll reread it. I don't want to spend time here now.
Okay.
I'll reread it and see suggestions. But I don't think
we,
14 gets...
Yeah, I don't think we went there because that was more how that would be happening versus what would be happening. But I see where you're going right with that. But I think there were reasons why we specifically actually didn't go to that. And now I forget what they were, but that...
Well, in meaning to get into actually an individual identifier, is that what you're referring to? Okay, and then Neil, so I think we purposely said there's stuff happening there. We don't need to take that on, but these are things that are separate from having an individual identifier that we felt we could do one.
Just to be clear, I'm not referring to a unique identifier. I think there's lots of reasons why we shouldn't go there. I'm referring to the ability to have a minimum set of data fields that will allow me to identify an individual as being the same person as another without having a unique identifier. It's the ability to, you know, hash a,
You're talking about probabilistic and deterministic matching algorithms related to individual identification. Yes, and I do believe that there's also work in relation to that. At least in the health information exchange world, they have substantially come to agreement around the core data elements for appropriate matching.
That
is not what this, no, not in here, because that was a part of the same other conversation I think we had historically around individual identifier led into also understanding that there was work going on, I believe, on the matching algorithm capabilities. And so we decided, we just avoided that altogether.
Yeah, there's a tiger theme on that because other people from Anthem are even participating, but I think we decided to scope it out because of that.
Okay, my recommendation would be you guys decide what to do, but just having a sentence or two referring to that work and saying we intentionally did not address this. Otherwise, to me, at least reading this again, it would be a miss. But just referring to that work, saying there's others that are working on it, we're watching it, you know, in this document.
Patient matching. But that's really what it is. It's and identity.
And when you're talking about the Tiger Team, are you referring to the Fire at Scale Tiger Team addressing identity as a part of scalability for ONC? Okay, yeah. I'm actually thinking that there's a separate body of work that is looking at increasing algorithm capacities and matching best practices. So, Anil, I get your point. This is a long-standing thorny issue. However, there's a lot of things that we have not had the time to write about in this report that we might like to. And I'm a little bit concerned about even wading into these waters. Personally, but I think we should definitely, we'll take the note. We can certainly think about it. Curious how others are feeling about this idea to even wade into this pool. Not seeing hands raised or comments, so it looks like some people may be typing.
Okay. Well, then let's move on to the next point, and we'll take this for a discussion after this meeting, Alex. But I think this is something we had, for whatever various reasons, decided not to discuss, and I think taking it on at this point in time would be problematic.
We got a plus one on tread lightly and recommend outcomes.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go to the next one, which was the rewording for recommendation 15. Here again, we did discuss this in last meeting. We changed it from should to recommend that. And then we also discussed this in the last meeting. We changed minimum data set because we didn't want to be confused with the HIPAA minimum data set to sufficient data set. And then we also added, as a result of a couple of different stakeholder groups, offer incentives for stakeholders to pilot and test innovative solutions, which was a suggestion. Now, does the task force agree that we should add that one or leave it off? But that was what was recommended by a couple different groups. Any comments, Alex?
No, but one person is typing. We have a support on agreeing with leaving in the offer incentives addition.
Okay.
No other hands raised.
All right. Well, then you can think about it more if you want to. Let's go on to the next one. We did add to our recommendations that are the goal of our recommendations to reduce burden R, and that was because specifically our charge calls out reduced burden. So I don't think that's really a material change, so I'm going to move forward. But there was some changes. Here we had written a new closing paragraph, and Rich actually had recommended an alternative paragraph, which some of us liked. So I'm bringing it forward, and Rich's recommendation, and I'll put it over here so you can see it a little bit better and delete it if you don't like it. But basically is to, the task force believes that these recommendations, if adopted, will form a solid basis on which to develop the future policies, standards, and enabling technologies to truly put the patient at the center of an efficient healthcare information ecosystem. That ecosystem would seamlessly and multidirectionally move appropriate data from the point of initial capture to the points of use without any special effort by those capturing or consuming the data. Those data flows would be protected by robust security practices and privacy policies. Overall burden would be reduced while clinical care and health outcomes would be improved. HHS and industry stakeholders should take this opportunity to act on the recommendations in this report and initiate the process of bringing the described ideal state to life. Thoughts?
Alexis?
I think that's great. Kudos to Rich for pulling together pretty much everything in the report into that paragraph. I think it's great. The only thing that I would add is towards the bottom when it goes into overall burden, as we had earlier, I would have overall burden would be reduced while clinical care, patient experience and health outcomes.
That's a great addition.
Anil?
Yeah, I think this is awesome. The only thing I would probably add would be to say that it's not the task force, the recommendations adopted that will do this. We've created the environment for other groups to do this. It's to give them some guardrails and some cohesive way of looking at this that's going to make all this happen, and conveying that in here, I think, will be important. But this is a really good summary.
Okay, this is Alex, and I'm struggling. Yeah, go ahead, Cheryl. I think you're going the same place I am.
I am. I'm struggling with where I would modify it for that, Anil. So,
well, if adopted in the opening sentence.
Yeah, but who's adopting it? See, I think what we need to make sure we talk about is that there's an ecosystem. It's industry working with the standard-setting bodies, collaborating together to take the what that we put together and actually start to form the details. That's what I'm sort of trying to sort of make sure that we give the impression that it's not done with these recommendations. This is a start.
Agreed, and that's been a big struggle.
Okay. If I remove if adopted, will that work?
I think, there's a comment that Rich made here about that ecosystem would seamlessly and multidirectionally move appropriate data. Maybe we can strengthen that and state something about industry partners it's great up by itself. I guess I'm just wordsmithing at this point. It looks pretty good.
No, that's what we want. So something about industry partners. Because industry stakeholders right here, which is HHS and industry stakeholders should take this opportunity to act on the recommendations in this report and initiate the process of bringing the described ideal state to life. So you want that to be stronger.
Yeah, well, I don't want them to act on it. I want them to get involved in fleshing out the details, right? These are just the what's. They can't act on the recommendations as is. They need to be now rolling up their sleeves and jumping into this, right?
Should take these recommendations. How about these recommendations as a basis for initiating follow on activity to bring the ideal state to life.
Yeah, I mean, the analogy would be in football is, you want to move the ball, further along the field, right? And this is just getting it so far, and we need them to actually, yeah. So we can maybe have the editor have a quick look at, decluttering the words now that we've added. But I think the overall intent is good. I just want to make sure we don't lose sight of the fact that this isn't going to do anything by itself. We need to let people know that they need to roll up their sleeves.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a really important point.
Okay, what do you think about the way I reworded it? Is that stronger?
Yeah, it is.
Any other? This is the last component of change, Alex. So are there any other comments on this or any of the others that we need to go back to? I know we have public comment in 2 minutes.
That's correct. I did momentarily lose internet connection, but so I don't believe I've missed anybody's comments or hand raising. I think you've got it. Now, although your screen just went great out on
us. Because I went to check for you. That's all.
Okay. So, thank you. So I think we're good to actually maybe pivot over to Lauren to do public comment at this point.
Sure. Thanks, Alex. And we'll just take a second to transition to get the phone number pulled up. But at this point, we'll ask the operator to open the call for public comment.
Thank you. If you would like to make a comment, please press star 1 on the telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your comment from the queue. And for participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up the handset before pressing the star keys. Our first comment is from Kim Boyd with Cover My Meds. Kim, please proceed.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, Task Force. This is Kim Boyd with Cover My Meds, and I want to thank you again for convening this task force to look at an opportunity to improve the prior authorization process. The task force was very open to having Cover My Meds come in and present early on in the process to inform about what we're seeing through our network regarding the electronic prior authorization process and means in which to improve it. I would like to say that we've also, as noted by the chair, that we did submit comments last week regarding the draft report, and again, are very thankful for the opportunity to be a part of this process. I unfortunately was not able to be on the bulk of this call, so my apologies if what I'm speaking to here is regurgitative. But from our perspective, I would like to offer that it is truly about the data that informs the process, and that data being transparent and being provided in real time. And that is a patient-specific benefit, coverage, eligibility information being provided at the point of prescribing in real time and patient-specific. Without this data, which the task force participants called workhorse data, and we agree with that, but without this data being pushed upstream into the prescriber's workflow in real time, the opportunity to truly inform the prior authorization process is minimized, and therefore the burden reduction for providers is also minimized. I would like to, you know, encourage the task force to continue to lean into that data and inform the HITAC committee about its importance of improving the prior authorization process, in hopes that this information can be opened up more fluidly for the provider and for the patient. I would also like to recommend to the task force that we definitely move away from attachments. And, you know, PDFs and documents, I do believe our industry is ready to move forward with data fluidity and interoperability using codified information. So I'd like to encourage the task force to continue to lean into that. Thank you again for the opportunity to comment. I hope everyone has a great election day.
Great. Thank you, Kim. And operator, do we have any additional comments?
There are no comments at this time.
Okay. Alex and Cheryl, I'll let you know if any other comments come in. We'll leave the line open.
Thanks so very much. We do have a few minutes left of our meeting today. Cheryl, it's so we have a choice. We can talk a little bit about next steps, and then I'm not sure how much time we'll have to go back and actually dive into any of the other areas that we wanted to do some more wordsmithing, but let's go ahead and advance to the next slide so that we can at least paint the picture of where we're headed, address any questions around that, and circle back. So as you've seen today, Cheryl's been walking us through the edits, materially substantial edits that we've been making over the last week and a half or so. Our plan is to take the feedback from today's discussion and to tomorrow in a multi-hour work session, work through incorporating those edits so that we can fine-tune the report for final submission. HITACH is meeting next Tuesday, the 10th. They usually meet on Wednesdays, but note that is a Tuesday. And they will, at that point, they will hopefully be formally approving our report. But in order for them to do that, we need to give them an advance copy. So we will plan to release the final report on Thursday. And presuming that they have accepted our report, we would on the 10th, we would then call our work completed, and so that the next set of efforts can move forward. So the game plan is hopefully we'll be able to pull all this together. I know that, thank you to Alexis for being a sounding board on us on the patient aspect tomorrow, and that we would let you all know that we've released the final report, and then we would transmit it to them, and upon their approval, we can call the question for ourselves and move forward. Are there any questions about the next steps and the timeline for the next week?
And Alex, this is Lauren. I don't think we have any additional public comments either.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
So, Alex, I'm thinking at this point in time, we're in a position to, you know, bring everything back to the group for our wordsmithing tomorrow. I know there was one that we were trying to decide whether we were going to move it to the workflow recommendation, and that would be recommendation F versus recommendation A for the patient center. And I just want to make sure that what we don't do it in a rush and we look at all of the, because that one has, you know, 11 or 12 items already in the list. And it may be that what we've put in the patient center just rewords something that we already have in the list. So I just think we need to just take a little bit more time with it to make sure that we don't already have it reworded in the list already.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I also think that based on the thread I'm seeing, thanks to Terrence Cunningham's comment and Alexis's add-on, that we may want to change patient at the center to patient-centered design and focus. And I'm doing a shout-out to see if anyone is having any concerns with patient-centered design and focus being the revised title for patient at the center. I'm not seeing any, Anil likes it, and I'm not seeing any hands raised or any other comments coming in. But I think that if there's any other ones that folks feel that we should particularly change because it may be confusing, because the reality is, I think as Terry so aptly put it, folks will do what we think they do, which is just to skim the titles. People are very busy, and so that's why we've included an executive summary in the report as well. And I see, Alexis, your hand is up.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that if we do change the title, or even if we didn't change the title, I think there's other places throughout the report where we reference patient at the center, and it's also being misunderstood to be at the center of administration workflows. So I think there's a couple other spots where we should just change it to patient-centered design or patient-centered focus rather than patient at center.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There's about at least eight places where we mention it, so we'll have to update it everywhere.
And I think what I'm hearing also is that patient-centered design or patient-centered focus could be a nice replacement for patient at the center, and we can certainly go through and double-check those. I'm not seeing any further comments or hands raised. Cheryl?
Okay. All right, then. I think I want to thank everybody for their input today. This has been really, really helpful. We're getting very close. Of course, we do have one more meeting before the HITACH. No, we don't.
No, we don't. It's after.
Next week. Right. So this is the end. So I don't know if we discussed, but are we going to send out a final paper to the task force, or how's that going
to work? I think we would absolutely want to send out whatever our final version is that we're going to transmit to the HITACH, and that I'm not clear what time they're meeting. I need to double check myself for November 10th. That they are doing their time is 9:30, so we need to receive guidance from Lauren on what kind of support we need to provide next week, or we may just be transmitting it on this Thursday, and we will make sure that the task force is fully aware, and hopefully everyone on this call is aware that the transmittal final report will be a part of the meeting materials on HITACH's website. Lauren, do you want to add any commentary to that?
No, that is correct. Once it is sent to the full committee, it will be posted on the meeting calendar page for the HITACH meeting on the 10th. And I think that's just about it. So if there's no other comments, which I don't think there are, Alex or Cheryl, anything else from you before we adjourn?
Just deep appreciation for all the smart and talented people and their contributions to bring us to this point. I'm sure we'd all like to do far more, but I think we have delivered as reflected by the feedback and the level of support and positive constructive criticism that we received to even strengthen it further. So thank you.
Yeah, and I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for everything that you guys have brought forward. It's very meaningful to all of us. And, hopefully this is going to result in some very material changes to the way in which we share data with one another and also help to enable patients' health outcomes.
Great. Well, thank you all again. Thanks to the task force members and to the members of the public. I hope you're able to join the full HITACH meeting next week. And with that, we will stand adjourned for today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you.